Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Steve in Atlanta. I've always heard you do your funny radio guy voice with the temperature repeating and the time repeating. And I'm listening to Atlanta radio this morning, and I've always heard you say the mattress and lane. And I've never actually heard a radio person say it before until this morning. The guy on the morning radio said, we've got a mattress in the lane, and somebody was hit from behind and rear-ended, so they were stopping for the mattress, and suddenly they were rear-ended, so there's a backup on Flat Shoals Road. That's exactly what you say. Well, mattress in lane, 59 degrees here in Atlanta this morning, 8:31, that's 31 minutes past 8 o'clock, just 29, minutes to the top of the hour, all right!
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
It strikes me with all these Casper mattresses and all these deliver-to-your-front-door mattresses ordered online, we're not going to have
mattress
that's a vestige of the past of you and the dad and the station wagon. And we did it. What's delivery? It's $31, dude. Oh, no way, Marge. Come on. Bring the country squire around. We can get this. With the box spring as well, Tim, we can do it.
Yep, nowadays it'll be mattress and lanes. It was a very compact box and moved quite easily.
But it's delivered to your door, so it's done with like a stake bed truck.
Exactly.
So we're going to, this has to be cars that shouldn't be, these aren't trucks. These are the guys with their arms out the window. Trevor Moore is here.
Hey.
Good to see you again, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
The special, The Story of Our Times, it premieres tomorrow night. That'll be Friday night as you hear this at midnight on Comedy Central. So many fun, compelling stories, and we have some songs to play and all that good stuff. Very, very impressive. I think maybe we should set up. Also, I have my a yardstick to sort of measure your community. Like here we have we have barbed wire around our freeway signs,
right,
which is not a good tell for your community. And there's no such thing as like, we have barbed wire around our freeway signs, but other than that, there's no crime and it's a utopia. Like, nah, that's a bad sign. But I feel like the more mattresses you have in lanes, the worse your community.
Yes.
Just feel like that's...
And if they're burned,
we got a real problem. And if there's somebody sleeping on it, we have an even bigger one.
How many cats are sleeping in your grocery store? That's also a sign.
Oh, that's a really good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are things like... If you go to grocery stores on the wrong side of town, and they have the cart, and the cart has a long piece of rigid conduit that has a plumber's tape wrapped around it so you physically can't push it out of the door. It's not electronic. It's not high tech. It's pretty much the door's 8 foot and this thing's 9 foot and you ain't making it to the car. That's a bad sign.
And I can tell you, I live in a fairly upscale neighborhood now, and I was walking my dog this morning and took this picture. So the mattresses are still
out
there
on the street.
A Tempur-Pedic that's been pissed off.
Oh.
Trevor, worst neighborhood you tell me. You live with this in this neighborhood. The lawyer with the crazy mustache pointing, saying, I'll work for you.
Okay.
And his number 17-6s or whatever it is.
Right.
Or 17-7s or whatever. That guy, or the billboard that says, we'll replace any tooth for $50.
Ooh. I'm going to go tooth.
I think
that's worse.
That's the right answer.
Yeah.
That is the worst neighborhood. All right, we'll play a song in a second. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Thank them for sponsoring this half of the show at LifeLock.com. And LegalZoom, LegalZoom.com. And MedMen, we love these guys, and Geico. The song that we're going to play now, one of Trevor's amazing songs, needs a little setup. So, Trevor, why don't we set it up?
Okay, well, I think this is The Story of Our Times is the song, right? Yeah, so this is... I read the synopsis of every single episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Oh, God.
So it was about 13 seasons at the time that I did this, and then I put it into I basically made cliff notes for it. And the point of the song is that basically we've paid attention to them for so long that this is now they're going to define not only the last decade, but maybe a whole generation. And it's really our fault because we've been paying attention to them.
It is our fault. And, you know, it's one of these things where you can say, well, whose fault are these Mexican drug syndicates? Is it Mexico? Is it the government? Or is it the fault of the people who demand it on our side of the border? And we usually go, well, if we didn't have such a great demand, then it wouldn't be there. My feeling is not only should we fault those who demand it, like Brian's wife.
That's right.
But we should execute the cartels as well. I'd say there's enough to go around.
This feels a little extreme.
Thank you. Mm. All right, so should we hear the song?
Sure, sure.
Little girl wanted to be famous so bad, 'cause she had a semi-famous dad, 'cause he was friends with the murderer who was on TV. Well, she had no TV murder friends like her pa, but she had one that was in the gossip mag. Because her grandfather owned hotels and had made a lot of money. Well, that friend blew a guy on videotape, and the news talked about it for 6 weeks straight. And our hero had a plan to get that fame that she so craved. She got the guy who played the brother on that Moesha show, and they filmed themselves going hard as they could.
Sad but true.
It's a 7 minute song. It goes on and on and on.
And you know what?
It tells the tale.
And when you just refresh that, I think I probably speak for most people. And I thought, oh my God, I totally forgot how she got famous.
Yeah.
She just feels like she's always been here.
Yeah. No, it really started because her dad was O.J. Simpson's buddy. And then she was, I think, Paris Hilton's assistant.
Yeah, like makeup girl. Yeah. And then Ray J.
Yeah.
Forgot.
Mm-hmm. Hey, let's get a quick polling amongst our male employees here, which is all of them. Although some, I feel like.
Could go either way.
Yeah.
What's a poll?
If you're Kanye West, how many times you seen the Ray J video, and how do you use it? Do you use it as a tool in anger? Do you use it as part of the lovemaking? What do you do with that information? I will accept you don't see it. You never want to see it. You couldn't pay me enough to see it. I will also accept I see it and then go into the next room and get me some. I will accept I see it when we're in an argument. We all, any guys ever engaged in the vengeance whack knows it well.
What?
It's the payback whack. They're whacks of love, they're whacks of appreciation, and then there's like the vengeance.
I didn't know whacks had intention.
Oh, yeah. You gotta sign one. It's like a good improv class. You can't just go in and just whack.
You have to have a premise.
Have to
What's the game
you have
of
to
this
find
whack?
The game and yeah. Then,
you know the 12 whacks of Christmas. That song?
Yeah. What do we do? What is Kanye? Now, also Kanye, so it's hard to judge what he would do.
Yeah.
What would we do personally if that was, you know, girlfriend first, you know, wife and then mother of kids and all that kind of stuff? Is that I'll never lay my eyes upon that? Is there, I must see that? Is there, I saw it and I wish I didn't see it? Where are we with dudes? Because guys' psyches vary a lot.
I think you try not to see it.
Keep in mind that it was around for many years before he ever met Kim Kardashian.
He probably already saw it.
Oh, he probably wanted to see her. Yeah. But this is post. Yeah. Now he has. And there's that. But then there's those moments when no one's around and you've had a few cocktails and your mind starts going into the devil's playground. You know, Trevor, you say...
I say you probably try not to see it.
But try also, not to. What would you personally do? What would you personally do?
I would probably not watch it.
You're probably not.
That would be my intention.
Knowing that the rest of the world has seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, maybe you'll watch it once. But you squint really hard.
Definitely take your son off your lap and tell you to go, go play in the kitchen before you fire that bad boy up. But is there any part of you that watches it and uses it psychologically?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you just got into a huge fight. Now you go into the office, you slam the door, and you have a boner.
Right.
Do you watch it then? Like, why don't we process this?
Yeah, I used to listen to this show called Loveline, and they used to say, more mystery, less history.
That was mine.
I don't want to see it.
I know you don't want to, but you know what I mean? Like, we don't want to do a lot of things.
There's more. I don't want to see it. I don't want anything to do with it. The only way I use it is for psychological warfare. And I'm like, oh, really? What do you think? If we're in a fight or we're arguing, like, oh, really? Maybe we should ask Ray J. See what he thinks.
Yeah.
It comes up. It comes up.
Yeah, but you don't need a video for that.
I don't want to see the video. I use the
All right, like, the but let's there. Try to be well, honest
the other thing
here.
You could do,
I'm being honest.
You could,
let's try and be honest.
You could use it as sort of blackmail because they have a son. Or they have a kid. Mm-hmm. And you could be like, I'd like to go out drinking with my friends tonight. And she's like, you went out last night. And you're like, oh, it'd be a shame if our kid saw this video.
Whatever. Yeah. Dawson, what do you think? Here's what I'd like to say. Well, first off, depending on how you're wired, this is your wife at the height of her physical powers. I mean, 19-year-old looking hot. Like, put that in the spank bank. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying it's all negative.
Yes,
look,
yes,
everyone's significant others had sex with other people. I mean, we're aware of this. It's, right. You know, we haven't seen video of it, but it's there. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is do you see? My feeling is, I would end up watching it, and then I would end up wishing I didn't watch it. But I still think I would probably end up watching it. Dawson.
Pretend it never existed.
And never look at it.
Never look at it, never talk about it, never ring it up.
I get that. That's all great, because everyone's sober right now. But I'm saying, like, at night, drunk, in a fight. Like, do you let
do
your
you
fingers
want to
do the
watch
walking?
A video of someone else plowing your wife? I say no.
I know, but there's this part of humanity. Which is that thing where you have that tooth and it's aching, it's a little sore, and you just flick it with your tongue. You just keep like flicking it, and you go, why am I doing that? And you're like, I don't know why, but I'm doing it. Like, not everything we do is a great, lucid, positive thought. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking for the deep, dark recesses here. I'm talking about you getting in a big blowout and her going, I'm staying in a hotel tonight, and you're hitting the bottle pretty hard. Yeah, you're talking now. You guys are talking in theory. Like, you don't want to see that. No, you don't want to see it.
Here's what I do.
That's right.
I break out the Paris Hilton tape and let her know I'm watching that.
Oh, interesting twist.
Max Spann.
It's manipulative.
Yeah, I would use it. I would be manipulative with it. I would if she's, you know, if she's too tired to do anything, I'm like, really? You're too tired. Come on.
That's good. That's good.
Here.
I find it hard to believe that none of us would. I would look at it and then I would not. I would look at it at some point and then wish I didn't, but I would still have to see it at some point.
Do you think you would regularly look at it?
It's tough. You know, first things first.
Once a week regular?
Look,
I don't know.
It's porn and I'm a fan. Like, let's just start, like, you know, when people like play in the NBA and they go, hey, I'm a fan first. Like, that's the way I feel about wife porn. You're like, hey, first I was a porn fan and then we got married.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So part of my thing is like, I'm a fan first. You know,
you're an appreciator. I really do think that a big part of it is knowing what other people know. Knowing what, if someone just sent it to you privately, I think it would be easier not to see it than knowing the entire world has already seen it and you're the only one who hasn't.
And to your point, like, you know, top for powers, 19-year-old looking as good as she can. I'm so cynical enough to believe that tape wasn't a bootleg tape, was made to be seen by a lot of people. So she's made up, she's dolled up, she's got good angles. Like, that's as good as it's going to get.
I'm just saying, like, you know, Kanye, you know, they're going on 10 years now. Like, never, there's a computer on your desk. Mm-hmm. There's a computer on your phone. Like, wherever you go, you're on the road, you're in a hotel room, you've had a little Courvoisier, and you're sitting in your room, and you got in an argument with her via Skype. Like, you're holding the device. I don't know. Matt's about to ask the crew.
Yeah, well, Matt said he would never watch it. Kaylin said he'd watch it one time.
The thing about one time is it's like, it's one time one or it's a hundred.
On a loop.
Yeah, or it's a hundred times. Like, once your cherry's popped with that, the you know.
Broken. There's an added psychological thing to it, too, that you would be like, that is the most important time she's ever had sex.
Yeah.
You know, and like, if she, that has to be the most important time to her because it made her famous.
Well,
so.
He saw it and sought her out.
Right.
I believe.
Oh.
I have some inside knowledge on this, that I think he was a fan of that tape and like sought her out. So no, well, now here's the deal. You know, Kanye may not be wired like us. Like in his
Kanye might be a different cat.
And here's in his world, he saw that like
Trump
like,
saw Stormy Daniels tape.
You know, same kind of thing. Well, I mean, but no, he didn't marry her. It's like,
I thought you meant the initial attraction.
Well, no, what I'm saying is, it's like if you saw a imagine you seeing a video for you, Paula Abdul in the 80s. Okay. You know what I mean? Favorite. And you're going, look at that woman. Boy, she moves amazing. And you watch that video, and then at some point you seek her out and you date her and you marry her, whatever. That's kind of, I think he saw that video and sort of did that with it. Yeah. All right. So Dawson says never see. Here's my thing with everyone and they're never seeing it. I just think at some point you'd be drunk, you'd be weak, and you'd watch it. That's my point. At some point. Well, you can say I don't want to see it, just like I don't want to see it either. But at some point, I think we would get weak and slip up. Or at some point, you'd announce, we're breaking up. Like, oh, we're getting divorced. Screw it. I'm going to watch this tape. And then you'd reconcile.
Plus, all right, it gives you like some psychological leeway if you fuck up. And she's like, why would you do that?
That's true.
Look, I had a late night and my wife is on the internet having sex. Like, anything that makes me feel, and just turn it around to you. Wow.
Gary, where are you at with this? Kalen says he'd watch.
I mean, I agree with you. I can't believe anyone who says they're not going to watch it.
Thank you.
I don't know how I'd use it.
I don't think anyone would leave this studio with the intent to watch it this afternoon. I'm saying at some point. Mm-hmm.
Your darkest moment.
And your drunken travels, it would happen.
I can cave to that.
Okay. I like that. All right. Okay.
Everybody just be honest.
Would you beat off to it?
If my intention is to never watch it, I have a hard time imagining I'd pleasure myself.
That's a bridge too far.
Because your wife's at the height of her powers.
Getting plowed by another dude.
What about all those guys that are like swingers and bring their wives in and watch them with other guys? Right. There's a lot of dudes that are into that thing.
Slice the population.
Ray J's tongue in that video is very disturbing.
His tongue?
His tongue is incredibly disturbing when he's kissing her.
How many people have actually seen this video?
Everybody in this room.
Dude.
I've not seen it.
Pop-up.
I don't really? Think I've ever actually ever seen it either.
He had to watch it.
I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, it's research.
No.
It's a good movie.
Maybe you should.
Gary's got some Kanye lyrics that'll address this issue. First, hold on. Put them down. First, I'll tell you about the LifeLock, and then we'll get into this. Tax season. It is upon us, ID thieves. They're out there to steal your identity and make fraudulent returns and steal your money. It's bad times, man. Everyone's vulnerable. Southwest, in particular, Nevada, the worst. So today's connected world just takes one weak link, and the criminals get in, steal your identity, and you are screwed. New LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds Norton Security to help protect against threats to your identity and your devices, things you can't see, things you don't know, things you can't feel, you don't know it when someone's stealing your identity. You have to protect yourself. You're online all day long. You're buying stuff. Your information's out there. It's a cost of doing business, but it's not much. If there's a problem, they will work to fix it. That's what their agents do. But there won't be a problem because you got LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses. The new LifeLock with Norton Security is able to uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code Adam for an additional 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam for an additional 10% off.
I feel like the beat off to my wife's video, I feel the same as when I'd go, come on, everyone pees in the sink, right? Yeah. Everyone's like, No, like when you're shaving, though. I'm not saying you walk from the toilet to pee in the sink, but like everyone over 6 foot, like when you're shaving, you got to piss. You piss in the sink, right? And everyone just goes, no. Come on, I'm not saying pee in your special needs daughter's flower shaped sink. I'm saying your sink when you're
already there,
right? And everyone's just looking at you like, no, no. Kanye dressed it in the lyrics. Go ahead, Gina Grant.
Okay. So one of the lyrics is, break records at Lewis, ate breakfast at Gucci, my girl, superstar from a home movie. And I bet me and Ray J would be friends if we ain't love the same bitch. Yeah, he might have it hit it first. Only problem is I'm rich.
Mm-hmm.
So he's addressed it and he's digested it.
That's been eloquent about it.
That's healthy.
All right. So what's the consensus here? Caitlin would watch it once. Everyone else, Dawson would... His conceit is eventually at some point the booze would get the best of him. He'd hit a low spot. He'd end up wandering over.
I'd cave and have to see what all the fuss is about.
Uh-huh. All right. Anyone else?
My intention is no, but always, of course, leaving open the possibility that, you know.
Okay. You got to leave that back door open.
She did.
Dylan, any of the other guys there?
I don't have Dylan's answer. Matt said he'd never watch it. Gary said he'd watch it. I said I'd watch it. So mm-hmm. I think that's the majority.
Tell Matt.
Everyone's lying.
We'd all watch his wife, but we're not going to do our own.
Wow.
It's a time, isn't it a time capsule to a 19-year-old version of your wife who you love?
I completely agree.
Getting plowed by another dude.
Like our high school yearbook. Yeah. Most likely to get plowed.
But, for Kanye, the black stigma's a push. You know, for us, it may be a bump. For him, it's just a lateral move. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to go, by black guy? You know what I mean? Whereas for us, it's a little,
Could bump you a little.
It's a little bump. It can be, societally.
No, I'm
not talking about me. I'm colorblind.
Yeah.
I'm cock colorblind. You cock colorblind, Gina?
I sure am.
I don't see the color in cock.
I never did.
Trevor?
This is the first time I've heard there was a difference.
Oh, you didn't even know.
Didn't know.
Oh, that's the ultimate cock colorblind. Yeah. Brian, cock colorblind?
What's color?
That's
right. Very, very
good. You know what a cock is, though, right?
Yeah,
but you're cock colorblind?
That's right.
Good for you, man. All right. Shall we... I'll tell you guys... Oh, speaking of wives, Lynette's going to be judging a swimsuit contest at Hooters in Costa Mesa. That's coming up tomorrow. And Corolla Drinks Comedy Night, Chevy Chase Country Club over there. Adam Ray and many others are going to be participating. That is May 3rd. It's weird the way that May 3rd is right now. See, I'm bad. Santa Ana Esports Arena with Heather Dubrow. We'll talk to her on a Saturday night. There'll be a live podcast. Come out there. You can also watch it on 360 VR at podcast1.com/CorollaVR. So if you're not in town, you can watch an actual live podcast. All right. Shall we take a quickie break and do a little news right after this?
Yes, sir.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, Southwest Airlines has expressed its sympathy to everyone affected by the tragic accident, which left one passenger dead. Flight 1380 from New York to Dallas made an emergency landing in Philadelphia after one of the engines broke apart. A woman identified as Jennifer Rorden of New Mexico was partially sucked out of the plane when debris from the engine shattered her window. She was later taken to the hospital where she was declared dead. Really freak thing, really scary. But meanwhile, Tammy Jo Schultz has been the pilot. She was the pilot of that plane. She's being praised for how she handled the emergency. And she's really interesting.
Schultzy.
Yeah, Schultzy. She was one of the Navy's first female fighter pilots. She served in, VAQ 34, VAC 34, a tactical electronic warfare squadron out of Point Mugu, California.
Point Mugu.
Is it Mugu? I always said Mugu.
No, it's Magoo. Just Point Mugu.
Okay, Mugu.
Like Mr. Mugu,
thank
I guess.
You. I always thought it was Mugu. All right, Mugu. That helped train ship crews to respond to Soviet missile threats, according to Navy records. Schultz was among the first cohort of women pilots to transition to tactical aircraft. But
she's quite decorated.
Yeah.
I flew Southwest with her, and I told her to freshen up my drink and then pat her on the ass.
Yeah. Job well done.
She did a great job. It was awesome. That's, when you sit up near the A group, you have access to the pilots.
Always hot coffee.
I told her it was sweet what she did with my drink.
And I'll look at it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. it's weird. Every once in a while, you get seated right by the impeller on the jet. You know, like the thing is just lined up with you, and you don't have to be into metallurgy, but you realize that something comes apart.
Yeah,
it's coming out.
Well,
and it's coming toward you. If there's a bird strike or something, and those impellers come apart, they're fan blades. You know, there's hundreds of them, and there is a kind of part of me that like I like to sit a little in front or a little behind. There's kind of right. There's like one or two aisles that's kind of the business.
The zone,
like those blades are right next to you, and they're literally 7 feet away. And if something comes undone, it's coming at you, and that's what happened. Pure dumb luck.
Does this change anyone's preference from window to aisle?
I got to have that aisle.
I think
anyway.
You think about it now.
I've always been an aisle guy, so I'm curious if it changes.
My more thing is, I don't want to be in that row in general, because once stuff goes ballistic, it's just pure luck that the person next door didn't get hit. If you'd been leaning forward or she'd been reclined or whatever it is, I feel like that is not going to be a super popular row.
But you're an odds guy.
Oh, yeah, no odds there. But it did make me think, as I was hearing about the story, that when you take a look at funny cars or top fuel dragsters, they have something called a blower bag and blower straps and blower bag. Now, it is for when that blower compressor blows up. When it does, doesn't do it all the time, but when it does, it doesn't send shrapnel flying everywhere. And you wonder if they're going to start. So those jet engines, just a very thin gauge aluminum as a shroud for the intake. They're not holding anything up. Right. You wonder if in the future they're going to wrap it with Kevlar or something of that nature, so that if something flies out, it will be captured and contained. The other part that's insane is when the engine completely blows up and they just fly on the one engine and land.
Yeah.
Anyway. You know, I always try to sit in the back of the plane whenever I try to book flights, because I've read that statistically those are the people that survive plane crashes, because when most plane crashes happen, the tail kind of sticks together. And and so everyone who lives is usually in the back.
I like that.
Except for everyone always dies. Yeah. Except for some. Yeah, you're statistically right. Out of the people who live, except for nobody lives. But yeah, I get it.
I've seen the movie Alive. It does that the way it always goes down.
Yeah, they were in
the
back.
The only silver lining for humanity that I could get out of this story was they were talking about, you know, all the people who she was partially sucked out of the plane.
I imagine she was pretty dead right away.
Well, and I think something hit her from the outside. But they were talking about on the news all the people on the plane that rushed to try and grab her and pull her back in. And I thought, you know, just the silver lining of the story is people didn't look and start pointing and screaming. People just jumped into action with their lizard brain and at least tried to save this person.
Yeah, no one brought their phones out and started like
recording.
Instagramming
world star hip hop.
The fact that many were yelling "free shoes." It's a little bit of a negative veil
that.
But
right.
Most of them were trying to keep her in the plane. Yeah, it's weird that it doesn't happen more often, really, if you think about the sheer volume, like the number of Southwest planes that are in the air right now, and sort of what we're asking them to do, and all the bizarre, like bird strikes or just whatever that can happen, and human error and everything else. Sad. Yeah. All right. Now, look. My whole world, in my world, I don't know who she sues. I don't know how this works, but if she doesn't get 10 times what that goddamn doctor got for getting dragged down the aisle, Dr. Puss in Boots, I will be livid.
That's a good point.
Doesn't seem fair.
Well, an ex-security guard for the Church of Scientology revealed a bitter rivalry between Tom Cruise and John Travolta, according to the Daily Mail.
Of course.
This is amazing. So former Scientologist Brendan Teague was part of Tom Cruise's security detail at the church's headquarters in Clearwater, Florida until 2009.
Travolta's kid was named Jet.
Oh.
Didn't he die?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Bringing it all.
It's all coming together.
Tying everything together nicely today, though. But yeah.
He has revealed that they were bitter enemies, a bitter rivalry between Cruise and Travolta, who believed he was David Miscavige's, quote, favorite son before Cruise came along. You know, David Miscavige, who runs the church. Teague said, quote, "I can assure you Travolta doesn't recognize Cruise as a superior in any way. When Cruise got the Freedom Medal of Valor, Travolta was so pissed off." He also said that he was forced to have his teeth whitened because, quote, you had to have a good smile for Tom Cruise.
The Miscavige guy, I hate to throw Stephanopoulos into this group, but little guys who overachieve and never look like they've ever had a drink in their life. Yeah. Like the guys who are like, I get up at 5 and I cycle. I cycle hard and then I swim and then I go to work. Like this guy, like who are these little overachieving guys with no
Napoleon?
They have no fat on them at all.
Ken and Burns just, is like the chill version of those guys.
Yeah, and they just always look spry and youthful and they're super pumped up about everybody and they can't just shake someone's hand and they have to grab them with
both hands
and they're like, great, you know, and it's like, I don't know why, but it bothers me when it comes in a small package. This guy bothers me because he's so...
Well, yeah, and if you've ever seen videos of he and Tom Cruise standing next to each other, Tom Cruise towers over this guy.
Yeah.
So he's very small, diminutive. Look at that picture.
Yeah. I like more your Brian Posehn types. You know what I mean?
Lumbering.
Like big and stone and like ask them what they're doing today. And like, I'm thinking I'm eating cereal out of a box with my hand. Anything else?
I don't know.
Beat off to that Ray J video. Like, instead of the guys are like, come on, let's do it. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they take something up in the middle of their life that you're not, you know, hey, I'm into parasailing.
Yeah,
and you're
never like, too old.
You're too old. No, it's kite sailing. No, it's awesome, man. I was up on one ski in one day. Like, they're always like into stuff and life's so exciting and invigorating to them. You never see them yawn or go like, God damn, has anyone got any coffee?
My back.
Brutal.
Killing me today.
Jesus Christ, so bright outside. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Where are those guys?
They're at the Scientology Center.
It'll be cool if this splits Scientology. If this makes it, this is the Martin Luther moment.
Yes.
And John Travolta puts up his like 95 theses.
Hammers
his
and then we have
Protestants.
He's being dwarfed by Tom Cruise in that picture. Just in stature. Like, that has to be a miniature guy.
He's wearing, like, a ring bearer's tux.
I have him at 5'1". David's at 5'1". Tom Cruise is at 5'7".
Now,
so I bet he's 4'9", 4'11".
Right.
If he's saying he's 5'1".
He's wearing plaids.
Got some lifts.
Yeah. If that guy were 6'3", do you feel like we'd ever have heard his name?
No.
Because I just feel like he's got that crazy gerbil motor. little gerbil heart pumping in him. Blow away everybody.
All right.
Let me tell you about the LegalZoom. Attorney's fees. Very expensive. $300 an hour. Gerga says he gets that for rolling over in bed. That's one reason the smart business owners turn to LegalZoom. 2 million plus Americans have used LegalZoom to start their business with LLCs and incorporation and more. But LegalZoom help offer business setup. So you can do lease agreements, NDAs, tax law, contract reviews. LegalZoom created their business legal plan, and they'll give you the advice you need from vetted independent attorneys and tax professionals available in every state. Gergis will tell people to go to LegalZoom because some of the times you need him with the billable hours, but for a lot of this stuff, you go to LegalZoom. You won't get charged by the hour since LegalZoom isn't a law firm. Just one low price up front. Right, Dawson?
That's right. Check out LegalZoom's business legal plan at LegalZoom.com now and get special savings when you enter Adam and check out LegalZoom, where life meets legal. LegalZoom.com.
Well, the American Lung Association says that California has the dirtiest air in the country.
Well, it's a good thing we got the mayor of Los Angeles in Iowa. Kicking tires over there, man. Meeting the people.
Hard at work.
He's talking to people.
Yeah, it's not going to go well for him.
The annual State of the Air report was released Wednesday, and it shows that 8 of the 10 most polluted cities in the country are located here in California. The Los Angeles Long Beach area was found to be the most ozone polluted city.
Weird. Los Angeles and California is always weird because it's always like hipster vanguard, you know, Venice Beach, let your free flag fly. We're at the tip of the spear of all innovation. And it's like, hey, we got the most poor people. It's like, what? No, I've seen the commercials. Haven't you seen the Ford truck commercials where everyone's like going down to the beach and doing all the Coronas and stuff?
And
it's like, we have the most poor people. We have the worst air. We have the most people fleeing. We have
traffic.
The highest everyone. We have the worst driving, the worst homeless. Like, Wait a minute. Like, California used to be California. Like,
Orange Grove.
You'd sit around in Wisconsin, you'd show the Rose Bowl parade, and you'd go, we got to move there. And now.
Right. That's what happened. Everybody came.
Right.
And then, we forgot everybody's filthy.
Guess what the second most polluted city in California is? It'll kind of make sense, but it's weird. It's a little off the grid in a way.
Oh, no. I can't figure out California.
Bakersfield. It's just so isolated and out there. I wouldn't have even thought of them on the list. Other California cities on the list include Fresno, Sacramento, and San Diego. The only non-California cities on the list are Phoenix at number 8 and New York at number 10. Now, of course, this won't be too shocking. Cities with the healthiest air are in states like Washington, Vermont, Wyoming, Hawaii, and North Carolina.
Yeah. Turns out air and people don't mix. It's sad, but we need air and all. But
we sure do.
It just doesn't work out with us and air.
How bad is having bad air anyway? I mean, they always say the air is bad, but is it really like...
We're still here.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel fine.
It's all better than it was. We used to have like third stage smog alerts and stuff like that. But I feel like wherever there's the least people, there's the best air.
Sure.
Yeah.
That seems to make sense.
But like China has like the worst air.
In general.
And there's tons of people there. They're living.
But they're wearing surgical masks to go to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Spitting a black tar on
the
street.
I'd like to talk to Chinese people and go, hey, listen, last I checked, every single one of you was riding a Schwinn to work. What the fuck with the horrible air?
Yeah.
Like, over here, they beg us to ride bikes. We're like, nah, no thanks. And like, well, we're going to use up a lane and build a bike lane. And they're like, good, have fun with Ed Begley Jr., but we're not going to be on it.
I can put a bike in my Hummer, I suppose.
But we do a lot of bad air bike thing. Like, hey, ride a bike and save some air. They're in a place where everyone's on a bike and they have
the worst.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Air. That's a lose-lose, China.
Yeah, that's
they love rubber fires.
Get it? Yeah. Get it? Take a good look in the mirror, would you?
Well, after taking the painkiller pregabalin, it's a painkiller that this guy needed to treat a broken foot, a man says the drug turned him gay. So Scott Purdy said he noticed his libido for women vanished while on the drug.
Because in the whole brain
he started taking the drug after he broke his foot while go-karting. He dumped his girlfriend of 6 months and is dating...
Go-karting is a very straight activity.
I'm gay.
So I'm not going to argue. If he broke his foot go-karting...
I mean, look at that wrist
tattoo. That's a straight dude move right there, going karting.
Yep.
Well, how do you break your foot go-karting?
Flip it, I guess.
Extreme go-karting.
Yeah.
Hold on, Dawson. I got to connect these dots.
A to Q.
He broke his foot and then having gay sex?
How do you break your foot go-karting? Your foot's on a gas pedal, right?
Well, Dawson, I'm going to file this under your weird logic, which is you can break your foot doing about anything. I mean, you can break your foot in a race car. You can break your foot.
But that's gay. And I don't mean it in like the homosexual way. I mean, it's lame.
No, it's not offensive. Okay, not in the offensive way. In the weird lame.
It's the gay way.
Yeah.
It's totally gay.
No, I'm saying go-karting is a pretty straight sport. And in terms of breaking your foot, if I was at a party and a guy had a cast on his foot and I said, how'd you break your foot? And he said, go-karting. I wouldn't yell liar.
Homo.
I would just assume that he broke his foot go-karting because I feel like it's pretty doable. You're in an open air thing with your feet exposed. Look, you could be go-karting and another guy next to you could run up on your car and run up on your tire and just run over your right foot.
Maybe his feet were not enclosed. Maybe it was more of a cage go-karting.
All go-karts.
Your feet are exposed.
The bigger ones with
Flintstones go-karting.
Yeah, the go-kart's a go-kart, Dawson.
Or he could have gotten out of his go-kart, you know, when it's not your turn anymore.
Yeah.
And he was running back and somebody clipped him.
Well, we used to race on a slick track. Our feet would go into the little go-kart slick track.
There's a few different variations.
Okay,
I live in a world where you could break your foot go-karting.
No problem.
That's the world I want to live in.
You live in that? Everyone else here in that world?
So he says, he dumped his girlfriend.
Now he took the medicine.
He dumped his girlfriend. He met a dude online. He says he realized he had developed an attraction to men and it actually turned him gay. He says, quote, if anyone gets prescribed pregabalin in the future, I think they should know that this medication could make you gay.
Did he take the recommended dose?
It sounds like he doubled it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Maybe Dr. Drew would know.
If they would add that to the side effects laundry list you hear on the commercials when you watch the evening news, I would be happy with that. Because right now, the loose stool and are you pregnant and suicidal thoughts and all that. But
headaches,
make me gay. Right.
Hives.
Right.
Propensity to go down on another man.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Yahoo News reports that T-Mobile will pay $40 million as part of a settlement.
What's this guy's dad do? That's what I want to know. It's like he.
What's that going to tell you?
It's like the thing where the medication made me gay. Mm-hmm. That's something you tell your minister dad. You know what I mean? Like,
good
hey,
point.
Hey, can I call you Sergeant?
Yeah.
Pray the gay away?
Yeah, there's got to be some dad who's not as open-minded as Kanye point. West is.
The craziest thing happened. Well, I told you how I broke my foot.
Right.
Go-karting.
Right. Right.
Yeah, good point. Mm-hmm. So Yahoo reports that T-Mobile has to pay $40 million as part of a settlement with the FCC for playing ringing sounds to mislead customers into thinking their calls were going through when they weren't and the call had never connected in the first place. The company admitted it has done this hundreds of millions of times over the years. The issue at hand...
Oh, so you think you have better coverage?
Yeah. I'll explain it to you. You're exactly right. The issue is that when someone's trying to call an area with poor connectivity, it can sometimes take several seconds to even establish a line to the other party. So they would then imply to the caller that their call has been going through and is ringing on the other end when it's not. They've been doing that since 2007. Along with a $40 million fine, T-Mobile will have to take action within 90 days to stop this. And I'm wondering if Sprint does this too, because I get all the time people going, it rang and rang on my end. And I'm like, I don't even have a missed call. I had no idea you called. So I wonder if this is common through all carriers.
Well, one thing I found out, I talked to Matt, the moderator DeAndrea from CarCast, and he was over at the Long Beach Grand Prix, Toyota Long Beach Grand Prix. I think it's still Toyota. Anyway, I called him on Saturday. He's like, yeah, my phone doesn't work because this is a Sprint or Verizon or whatever sponsor. It's like the Verizon, IndyCar, whatever. And if you have Sprint, they jam you.
That doesn't seem fair.
Wow. Mm.
Which is when, so T-Mobile or Sprint does the Nextel NASCAR Cup or whatever. And so, or Sprint or whatever. These are the sponsors.
Right.
You're coming in there without that carrier and they jam you and everybody who has their sponsorship. Right. Like, I guess they wouldn't serve Pepsi, the Coca-Cola 500 or something.
Wow. That doesn't seem right.
It seems weird.
A consumer.
He said, he's walking through the field at Long Beach. He had like one girl had Verizon there at Sprint, and I'm mixing it all up. But she said, mine's fine. There's like, mine doesn't work because
that's not
the name of the sponsor who sponsored this event. And then the other one said, he then recalled when he went to a NASCAR event was whatever. And his phone was fine and the other person's weren't fine. Kind of makes sense that you would go, this is who's sponsoring this event. And if you got that, then good on you. And if not, good luck with your phone in this event.
I could see somebody with whoever, say Verizon was sponsoring it. I could see the Verizon people getting a perk, but not the Sprint and T-Mobile people being out of luck and can't use their phones.
Well, it worked. It just didn't work as well. And you can look it up. I don't know. Dawson has some thoughts.
No, you're 100% true because they're essentially selling the venue to the advertiser or the phone company. You want to sponsor this. If it's the NASCAR Sprint Cup, Sprint has essentially bought that venue. And I really think that they do throttle everything. Yeah,
kind of random.
They got a theme at the end there. But I hope has like a heart attack and can't call out because they're opening themselves up to a huge loss.
Emergency calls are different.
It's like
emergency calls work no matter what?
Yeah. Okay. You don't even have to have cell phone service. You can dial 911 on your cell.
Oh.
It should get through.
That's good to know.
Let's try it.
Allegedly, for listeners.
None of these. I have no idea. Max Pat, you can investigate, but we'll see if they... Allegedly, this is what happened.
It does make sense that let's say it's a Sprint event, they would bring equipment like a van or whatever, or a portable this or whatever,
for a
booster.
Boost.
Yeah, because God forbid you're a Sprint customer, you're texting, I'm at the Sprint, whatever, and this silver sucks. Like, no, you don't want that.
But when you said like Coke and Pepsi, this isn't a great apples to apples comparison, but that would be like saying, it's not like you just get to have Pepsi. You don't get anything if you like Coke.
Yeah, and like I said, his phone worked not very well.
Well,
and again, again, this is not hard science, but the two gals who had the two different carriers, one worked just fine, who was the sponsor, and the other wasn't working. But again, this isn't stuff that necessarily holds up in court, but it starts to add up.
At any big event, like when I'm at a USC game, our phone sucks, but they're not sponsored by anything. I can see if it's sponsored by...
Well, Max Spada, you can investigate.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. The only thing I've seen personally is like they give you Wi-Fi, like if you're an AT&T customer, T-Mobile customer at these events, and you get access to the free Wi-Fi.
You'll
get
a privilege.
So if you're a real power player, you'll have a few different carriers and a few different phones, and you'll try to figure out what event is what, and I'll bring that phone to this event.
Here's another possibility. When so many people are using their phones in the same place, the coverage goes down and gets worse because T-Mobile, whoever sponsored the Long Beach thing, they can be bringing in a ton more infrastructure and really put a huge signal in there. So everyone with theirs is going to work all the time, whereas the ones don't.
Also, if you're anywhere and you have a Verizon person and a Sprint person, it doesn't matter where you are, the Verizon call will work and the Sprint probably won't. That's
I didn't know about the emergency call business. Mm-hmm. All right, let me tell you about MedMen. Nevada, oh man, California, it's an exciting time. MedMen redefining the cannabis industry and empowering people to exercise their right to purchase cannabis. We love these guys. Premium shopping experience, stores, state-of-the-art. All MedMen stores feature a wide range of products, knowledgeable and approachable staff. You can find out what is best for you. Open for both recreational and medical users. Anyone over 21 with a valid ID is welcome, providing the highest quality and safety. Don't have to worry about what you're buying. They have, I guess they're kind of like valets or like experts. I'll tell you, you tell them what you're looking for. They'll point you in the right direction, and it is state-of-the-art. You check out one of their eight locations. They have Los Angeles, they have Orange County, San Diego, Vegas. Or you go to MedMen.com, find one nearest you, store nearest you, MedMen.com, and let them know you heard it here on the Adam Carolla Show, and save $10. Dawson.
Exclusively for our listeners, visit MedMen and tell them you heard about it on the Adam Carolla Show for $10 off your order. Limit one per customer. Terms and conditions may apply. Check out MedMen today.
All right, let's do one more, Gina Grant.
All right. Well, the test kitchens over at Chili's restaurant chain have been hard at work developing a five-meat monster burger they're calling the Boss. It's 1,650 calories. Oh, it comes with half a pound of beef.
Those like the burgers that Homer Simpson used to eat in the Simpsons in like the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
They've come to life. They've come right? to like there used to be like we take creamery butter and we dip the cow. Sure. We make the cow exist on butter. We feed the cow and then we slaughter the cow and then we mates with
a pig.
Right, a pig. But this is that.
It's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a half a pound of beef, pulled rib meat, smoked brisket, jalapeno cheddar smoked sausage, bacon, cheddar cheese, tomato, lettuce, ranch, and barbecue sauce.
I like all of this in theory.
Individually.
But let me say this about a burger. If you can't compress it enough to get it all in a bite, then it's screwed up. It falls over. You start mixing and matching. It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. The Dagwood Bumpstead.
Yeah, the Dagwood.
Yep. That's not a good sandwich.
Right. The Plaster Paris burger from the scene in Cobra when they were on the lam and they ended up at the roadside diner. And Stallone did some, I'm sure, found improvisational humor about that burger. Yeah, the Dagwood burger. It's too much. Yep. So here's the rules. The rules with the burger is you can do whatever you want. I got to be able to grab it with both hands and get my mouth, not Bernadette Peters' mouth.
Not Steven Tyler's
but
mouth.
Richard
not Steven Klein. Tyler's mouth. My mouth.
Yeah.
Average-sized mouth on it. And I would also say...
Wow.
Picture of him holding the burger. I swear, I know Sly. He must have just picked that up.
Hey, got a funny idea.
A good burger.
That's when he keeps his gun in the fridge.
That's right. Yeah. He cuts pizza with scissors. So, the burger. I'm trying to think, but the best amongst the best burgers I've ever had have been the less is more.
Agreed.
Burger.
Yeah, this sounded wonderful and interesting and bizarre, but until I started saying barbecue and ranch. It's like, individually, those are, I suppose, fine, but that's just too much. Just too many flavors. Now it's just a weird thing.
I don't even like when they put a toothpick in it.
It's too much for you?
Well, it's just like, it's cheating. Mm. Like, because as soon as you take the toothpick out, it's like a spring, kind of.
Yeah, agreed. To me, I know everyone goes double-double, but you just get the In-N-Out regular cheeseburger. You can handle it with one hand, no problem. In terms of the quantities and the mixture of bun to meat, the ratio. Pickle, the ratio.
It's all there.
It's good, yeah.
Just get two of them.
I agree.
That's all you need.
That was the old plan. Yeah. All right, let's bring it home, baby
you
girl.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Gina
Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
Oh, yeah, Geico. Everybody's got the to-do list. How about you add? Save hundreds of dollars to your car insurance at geico.com. You don't have to go anywhere. Just slide on over the computer, pump it up, go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money and put it in your pocket. Going to be the most rewarding thing you do all day. Save that money. Save that auto insurance money at Geico. That's geico.com. All right, go to adamcarolla.com. You find out where all the live shows are. It's going to be live shows everywhere, and the aforementioned crews. And Elgin Baylor coming in tomorrow, NBA legend. Trevor Moore, the special. Trevor Moore, the story of our times. Very funny. It is Friday night. It's midnight. It's Comedy Central. And Trevor... where can we go to find you? Should we go shoot your tweet at Trevor Moore?
It's I Trevor Moore, like an iPad.
And you can check out the 24-hour live stream, which is happening right now on Comedy Central and Facebook page. Also, Trevor's going to be interviewing lots of good guests on that. But, shoot him a tweet at Trevor Moore. So, until next time, Adam Carolla for the Def Frat Guy, Trevor Moore, Gina Grad, and Ball Bryan saying mahalo.
Meow.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, here's the phone number. Write it down. 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee, and you'll get a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Just click the link at adamcarolla.com. May 17th, Cleveland. May 18th, Detroit. April 21st, Santa Ana. And, of course, June 9th. In Portland for the filmed live-up stand-up special. Tickets and info on all of it at adamcarolla.com.